بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 12th of March in the year 2024 Alhamdulillah we've completed the 40th night that we're going through the noble and blessed life of the illustrious companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu and we're into the encounter at Yarmouk and thus far we've mentioned the first day, the day of probing. So moving on to the second day, which is called by the historians assaulting of the wings. Assaulting of the wings. Vahan now called a council of war, at which plans for the next day were disclosed. He would have to do something different if success were to be achieved. And Vahan decided to launch his next attack at the first light of dawn in the hope of catching the Muslims of God. Moreover, he would now also attack in greater strength. So this was the part of his plan. Usually they started when the sun rose quite a bit. But he said, tomorrow as soon as the dawn breaks, we're going to attack. And hopefully we'll catch the Muslims of God. The plan was now the two central European armies, both under the control of Deirjan, would be put into holding attacks to tie down the Muslim centers. I Abu Ubaidah and Shura'bih radiyallahu as cause, whilst the two wings would launch their major thrusts and either drive their Muslim counterparts off the battlefield or push them into the center. So this was the plan. Keep the two centers of the Muslims busy by lightly attacking them. So the two centers were Shura'bih and Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu as cause. But that is not where the main attack was. This is just to keep them on hold. The main attack is on the wings. Amr ibn al-As's wing on the right, radiyallahu anhu, and Yazid's on the left. To have a grand view of the battle, Vahan had a large pavilion placed on a hillock behind the Roman right, from where the entire plain could be seen. Here Vahan positioned himself with his court and bodyguard of 2,000 Armenians. So again, you'd expect this. He's the commander-in-chief. You wouldn't expect him to be on the battlefield, and he wasn't. So he got a grandstand view, and he had 2,000 guards. Imagine how scared was he of the believers. 2,000 to see what was happening. The Muslims were indeed certainly caught unaware. But Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu had wisely ordered the placing of a brave, strong outpost line in front during the night. And these outposts caused sufficient delay in the Roman advance to enable the Muslims to get into battle positions. So this is the brilliance of Khalid. During the night, he put a light screen in the strategic place in case there was going to be an attack. And that light screen would give enough time for the main forces to get into positions. And it worked perfectly. The sun was thus not yet up when the two forces clashed. The two Muslim centers held their own. But as mentioned, the Romans were not pressing hard, as this was meant to be a limited attack to hold those Muslim corps in position from assisting their wings. So in the center, there was an engagement, but it wasn't a serious engagement. It was just to keep them from helping the wings. So Abu Ubaidah's corps and Shurahbil's corps were now engaged, but they were unable to help now, the wings. Thus as planned, on the wings fell the heaviest blows of the Roman forces, and hence these bore the brunt of the fight. On the Muslim right, the army of Qanatir, consisting mainly of Slavs, attacked the corps of Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu. The believers held on bravely and the first attack was repulsed. So who was the counter of Amr? Qanatir, his forces. They attacked with ferocity. And Amr ibn al-As withheld the attack. The believers did not break. Qanatir thereupon attacked for a second time with fresh troops. Think about that. They've got so much men, they can use fresh. So the second attack with fresh troops. Again, Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu and the believers repulsed them. Even though they've now faced two. However, when Qanatir launched an attack a third time, again using fresh regiments, the resistance of the now tired Muslims finally broke, and the bulk of the wing fell back to the camp, while some of it joined the center of Shurabih corps. So what happened? When the third wave came, now they buckled. So the wing of Amr, it literally split into two. One went back into the camp itself of the Muslims where the women and children were. The others joined the center right corps of Shurahbi radiallahu anhu. As the corps fell back in some disorder, Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu thereupon ordered his cavalry regiment of 2,000 horsemen to counterattack and repulse the advancing Romans. So this was the backup. So Amr ibn al-As used now the backup of 2,000 cavalry to hopefully push them back. The cavalry launched into battle with great dash and for some time checked the Roman advance but was unable to hold it for long. It also was repulsed by the Romans and returned from battle, also making for the Muslim camp. So the backup of the cavalry also now broke. However, as the horsemen reached the camp along with the foot soldiers, they found a line of women waiting for them with tent poles and stones in their hands. The women yelled, "May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse those who run away from the enemy." And in particular to their own husbands, they cried out, "You are not our husbands if you cannot save us from the unbelievers." It is also related that other women began to beat drums and sang the following improvised song. So this is what they were singing. "O you who run from a constant woman who has both beauty and virtue and leave her to the unbelievers, the hated evil unbelievers, to possess disgrace and ruin." Recorded by Hafiz Waqidi Rahmatullah Ali in his Futuh al-Sham, page 140. So the women were playing their part. They started throwing stones at those who had retreated and also gave them the verb which is more difficult upon them. In addition, they were assaulted. So think about it. They were being thrown at stones, being hit with the tent poles. Women are rebuking them in verse. First came a shower of stones. Then the women rushed at the men, striking horse and rider with tent poles. Subhanallah, this was more than the proud warriors could take. Full of remorse, they once again launched back onto the battlefield and advanced in blazing anger towards the Roman left wing of Qanatir. So they got a second wind and they launched again. Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu had thus now launched his second counter attack with his bulk of his corps. So this was what was happening in the right wing, have you understood? But don't forget, there was an attack on the left. So let's now turn to the Muslim left wing. So who's the commander of the left wing?
Yazid.
Yazid ibn Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. The situation here was only a little less serious. Here too, the initial Roman attack was repulsed. But in a second attack, the Romans broke through the core of Yazid radiallahu anhu. This was the European wing of Gregory with chains. More slow moving than others, but also more solid. So what's the difference? Amr's wing, it took three attacks to make them, force them to retreat. Yazid, it was two. But you could argue that these were the soldiers in chains, right? These were the soldiers in chains. So obviously they couldn't, you know, push them back, as they say. Sayyidina Yazid radiallahu anhu too used his cavalry regiment to counter attack and it too was repulsed. And after a period of stiff resistance, the warriors of Yazid radiallahu anhu also fell back to their camp, where the noble women were waiting. So what's happened? Exactly the same. They brought back into the Muslim camp, and who's waiting for them? The women. So what happened? The first Muslim horseman from the left wing to arrive back at the camp was Sayyidina Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, radiallahu anhu. And the first woman to meet him was his wife, Sayyidina Hind, radiallahu anhu. She struck at the head of his horse with a tent pole and she cried out, "Where to, O son of Harb? Return to battle. Show your courage, so you may be forgiven your sins against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Sayyidina Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu had experienced his wife's violent temper on many occasions before. He would thus rather face the Romans, hence he returned. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, he is around in his mid-70s, maybe even older. So he's an elderly man. So obviously if he retreats, you're thinking, okay, an elderly man, he's not seen a huge battle before. You expect one of the aged companions to be the first. His wife's also quite aged, Hind, but she's not having none of it. She goes, "Show courage. You need your sins forgiven that you did against Rasulullah." So he returned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, soon the whole core of Yazid returned to battle. So look how pivotal the women's role was. It restored the wings. You know, they play the most pivotal role. Sayyidina Hind radiallahu anhu, on seeing the sight, she burst into the following song. "We are the daughters of the night. We move amongst cushions with a gentle feline grace, and our bracelets are on our elbows. If you advance, we shall embrace you, and if you retreat, we shall forsake you with a loveless separation." SubhanAllah. Recorded by Hafiz Waqidi Rahmatullah Alayh in his Futuh al-Sham, page 140. So she's proud that they've returned, and she's encouraging them further. Such was the transformation in the life of Sayyidina Hind radiallahu anha, now making amends for all that was past. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with her. So if you ask Muslims, what do you know about Hind? This is the first thing that comes out of their black mouths, right? They goes, "Oh, chewed Hamza's liver, mashallah. Go and join your brothers in Iran." Why do you go straight to the negative when you talk about a sahaba? There's something wrong with you, right? You know, the Rawafid, you expect to say that. He goes, "What about her son Muawiyah? He fought Ali." Again, note, you know, darkness of the heart, you know, corrupt, sick hearts coming out with their black statements. Has anybody mentioned their virtues? Which person would say Hind? Or the one who made the retreating Muslims go back onto the battlefield against the powerful Romans at Yarmouk? You're talking about her. Next minute, what? Go and eat your chicken and chips, mate. Right? Imagine it. What state the Muslims are in it? Astaghfirullah. It was now midday. Whilst the Muslim wings were engaged in a tense encounter, Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu was all the while just watching these developments from his position in the center. So think about that. Khalid has not engaged. So the two centers are being lightly pushed. They don't need any assistance. The two wings have actually broke. They've retreated, but the women have played their pivotal role. And but what's Khalid doing? Radiallahu anhu. So far, he had done nothing to help the wings. He had refused to be drawn into battle with his central reserve before it was absolutely necessary. With the eventual retreat of both the wings, the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now had no choice but to assist and quickly re-establish the Muslim positions. He first launched into the right wing of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu with his mobile guard, and one cavalry regiment struck ferociously at the flank of the force of Qanatir, whilst at the same time Sayyidina Amr counter-attacked again from the front. So Amr is pushing them back radiallahu. Khalid smashes into their sight. So they've now been attacked from two sides, the Qanatir's right, the wing opposing Amr. Though subhanallah, the Roman wing was now being assaulted from two frontal sides. It quickly broke and beat a hasty retreat to their original position. So with Khalid's impetus, radiallahu, and his mobile guard, the right wing was restored. Alhamdulillah, Sayyidina Amr radiallahu had thus regained all the ground that he had lost and once again reorganized his right wing for the next encounter. So the right wing is restored. As soon as the right wing was restored, Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu, now without a moment to lose, dashed towards the left wing. By now, Sayyidina Yazid radiallahu had begun a major counterattack from the front to push the Romans back. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu now did two things. Firstly, he detached one cavalry force under Dirar. So he broke some of the force and he put the commander Dirar in charge. And he ordered him to attack the center nearest to the wing, the force of Dirjan, in order to create a diversion so that they would not help or assist their right wing, which faced Yazid. So putting it simply, what's Khalid doing, radiallahu? He knows that the center wing, which is opposite Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah's, that wing might come to the assistance of their wing. So he broke a small detachment cavalry with Dirar and he ordered him to attack and help Abu Ubaidah against this central wing, so they couldn't assist their wing, which opposed Yazid. Secondly, Khalid radiallahu, with the rest of his cavalry, launched into the wing of Gregory, i.e. the European force. Here again, the Roman wing withdrew under the counter-attacks from two frontal positions. But this time, moved slowly, because with their chains, they could not move fast. So what's happened? Khalid has now attacked from the side. Yazid is attacking from the front. Sayyidina Dirar is basically stopping the central wing to help their wing. And with that, they managed to push the wing of the Romans back. But they had to retreat very slowly because of their chains. Incredibly, whilst the Roman wing was falling back, Sayyidina Dirar radiallahu, who was told to check the center from helping their wing, broke through the force of Dirjan and managed to not only get to Dirjan, the commander of the two centers, but also killed him. Subhanallah, he managed then to retreat back to the Muslim line. So again, how is that possible? The commander of the two centers, Dirjan, must have had bodyguards. Yet, Dirar, he smashed through them, got to him, killed him. Not only killed the commander of the two centers, made it back to the Muslim line. So simply put, on the second day, the Muslims had faced a critical situation, but they had regained their lost ground. The believers, one could say, had won this round on points. Meanwhile, back in the Roman camp, the mood hardened. Thousands of Romans had been slain on this second day. And the Muslims had not only repulsed the wings of their army, but also attacked one of their centers, and the commander of the two centers, Dirjan, had been killed. So it was a lousy day. He goes, the plan didn't work. The Muslims kept their lines. I've lost the commander of the two centers. This was indeed a great loss for Vahan, for Dirjan was a distinguished and highly esteemed general. The commander-in-chief Vahan now appointed another general, one by the name of Qurin, to command Dirjan's force, i.e. the center, which faced the central left of Abu Ubaidah's force, and transferred the command of the other center, which faced Shurabil's central right force, to Qanatir, the commander of the wing, which faced Amr's wing to the right. So let's break it down. So because the commander of the two centers of the unbelievers had been killed, who now is going to take command. So the commander that faced Abu Ubaidah's force, the central left force of the believers, the commander on the opposite side was Qurin. He was in charge of that wing, the center, facing Abu Ubaidah. But the commander of the wing which faced Amr was Qanatir, which I've mentioned. Vahan told Qanatir, you are not only the commander of the wing facing Amr, you are now the commander of the wing which is facing Shurabil. So what has he done? He's given the right side facing the Muslims under the command of one commander called Qanatir. Simply put, Qanatir now had control of the wing and center which faced Amr and Shurahbil's forces. This was necessary for the next day's battle would be focused with Qanatir's forces, which faced the central right and right wing of the believing forces. So Vahan did that because his plan now was to attack fiercely on the wing of Amr and Shurahbil. And one commander opposite would be more appropriate to launch the unbelieving forces. So it was Qanatir. So there was a change of command. So this was the second day in brief. So the second day, what was it called? It was called the assaulting of the wings. So note, the first day was called the day of probing. The second day was now called the assaulting of the wings. And don't forget what the Shuyukh said, each day gets more ferocious. So notice there was a degree far more urgency on the second day. And the third day is even going to get even more bloody, as they say. So all I mentioned today was the second day, i.e. the assaulting of the wings. And note the critical part that Sayyidina Amr played on that day, radiallahu anhu. And not forgetting, he himself was in his late 60s. So, you know, he was doing things that you would expect a youngster to be doing. And yet, these were the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ونواصي بالحق ونواصي بالصبر صلى الله عليه وسلم